The reading from Maccabees speaks of a tale of a pious Jew, a mother with seven sons. He refuses to obey the dictates of the government and violate religious beliefs. Consequently, died a martyr's death, expressing their hope for the rising of the dead. The point that I think that is being made is that they, the mother and the children, put their faith in God and truly believed in God who raises the dead. The king of this world will rise us up to live again forever. Interesting that in the Sadducees now, they put this question to Jesus. If a woman loses six husbands in a row, all brothers, marries still another brother, which one is going to be her husband in the risen life? Notice that the question focuses entirely on death. Jesus, as always, turns the tables on them when he says, "He is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living." This is reverses the whole Sadducees' whole notion and pronounces that all current criteria is really irrelevant without any application. One cannot speak of the reign of God in old images. And then Jesus goes on to explain that when Moses met God in the burning bush, God said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He didn't say, "I was their God," but he used the present tense, "I am and ever will be your God, God of the living." And God enters into a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Now life, not death, is the motivating force. Because God is the giver and provider of life. Consequently, the resurrection is not a prolongation of our present earthly life, but an entirely new mode of existence. A life of faith that began at our baptism will continue forever, because our faith in the resurrection should influence our lives here and now. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, is telling us that one of our basic needs in life is security, and we find that need met in the unchanging love of God. So, with the love of God in our hearts and the strength of Christ in our life, we have the endurance to live and face the challenges of life. Because our faith is living, and it must be characterized by hope, not despair and depression, despite the world around us. But our faith has to have a strong hope and a belief in tomorrows. And that's the key, believing in tomorrows. Jesus did not call us just to get by in this world, to suffer the pains and hardships and frustrations until we make it in the next. He calls us to daily living our faith commitment, to live those gospel values and incorporate them into our lives. For our hope in the resurrection and eternal life is a way of expressing the ultimate trust in God, the way to live out our faith commitment. The mother with the seven sons did it, and so must we. But the question is, how can we do it today? I remember there was the blacksmith in my grandmother's village who had a vision one time that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Look, the Lord has sent me to you. It's your time now to come home and live in the kingdom." And the blacksmith said, "Please, thank God for me, but as you know, the season of planting the crops is nearby. Village people need their plows repaired, horses shod. I really don't want to seem ungrateful to the Lord for thinking of me, but might it be possible for me to postpone my living in the kingdom until I have finished?" The angel looked at him very lovingly and said, "I'll see what I can do," and left. The blacksmith continued his work. When he was almost finished, he heard that a neighbor in the village had fallen ill in the middle of planting season. Again, the angel appeared. The blacksmith asked the angel, "Do you think eternity can hold off just a little longer? If I don't finish the planting, my friend's family will suffer." Again, the angel smiled and vanished. The friend recovered. another barn burned down, and then another was in deep sorrow for his wife had died, and then the list kept going on and on. And whenever the angel appeared, the blacksmith always had another story of compassion and suffering. Finally, the blacksmith realized, you know, that he was putting off living in the kingdom for such a long time. He was a little bit old now and tired. So he said, "Lord, if you would like to send me your angel, for I'd very much like to see him." And sure enough, the angel stood right in front of him and said, "If you want to take me, I am now ready to take my place in the kingdom of the Lord." The angel just smiled and said, "Where do you think you have been all these years?" And I was thinking about that. What about you and I? Where is our kingdom? Is it here and now? Or is it someplace we hope to get to in the future? Jesus is telling us that the kingdom is alive. It's living. It's already here. And it represents his vision of our life right here, right now. It's a kingdom where the sick are healed, alienated are brought near and welcomed, sinners are forgiven. It's a kingdom of justice, of peace, of reconciliation. So today, I think we're challenged to look beyond our own familial and treasured relationships in order to care for the widows, the orphans, the needy, the downtrodden, the crippled, the handicapped, the unwanted, the neglected, somehow be able to reach out to all people. I say that because the communions and the community of the future will be built according to the blueprints we create in our communions and our communities of the present. The Lord is telling us the time to act is now. It's the time to live out our Christian commitment because we are living God's kingdom. And now, let's profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,